Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. Three billboards outside Cleveland, Ohio has got us thinking, should Philly really be pursuing LeBron James in free agency? It's crazy to think about, but we discuss whether LeBron James will actually miss out on the first team All-NBA. Another huge win for the Portland Trail Blazers today over the Thunder. So we discuss whether the Blazers are going under the radar in the Western Conference. And we'll be discussing all the soup drama in another edition of Off Topic. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Make sure you smash it. You smash that button. That subscribe button.
That's not going to let them subscribe, Nick. If the button's broken.
You smash the subscribe button on iTunes. You make it happen. My name is Nick Busink, and my basketball team beat their opposition by 63 points on Thursday. 63,
Holy
Jack.
Holy craps. 63 points.
And you know who it was against? It was against one of our friends' younger brother's team, and he's like 18.
Did he put up buckets?
We let him put up buckets because it was just annihilation. The score was 70. The score was 72-9.
That literally sounds like a score from like the first half of Space Jam with the Monstars against.
It was ridiculous. They can't defend in transition. It was so fun because you're just getting fast break buckets all day. Granted, when they were 20 points down, they were just like, screw it. And they just stopped giving a shit.
who did most of the damage?
We had actually two new guys. We had two fill-ins because we had some unfortunateness with work and other commitments. We were down on players, so we brought in two guys from upper division. One guy hit 5 from 6 from three, and the other guy was just standing on the halfway line waiting for outlet passes from us rebounding.
Nice.
And like all of them are about, there's no one 6 foot on their team, and we've got 2 6-foot-4 guys. So it was just annihilation. Because they were just jacking up threes because they just wanted to have fun and then just rebound and just half full court pass, bucket.
I liked it. I'm looking forward to getting back, mate. And with me today on this episode 2.19, we have me, you know
Jack
my
Manuel,
name, J-Man.
J-Man, he as well.
I can vouch for him,
he as well.
Thank you.
No dramas. And hopefully, we have a special guest on today. There's been some technical difficulties, but I'll tease that a little bit here. But if nothing happens, don't at me. Do not at me.
At JBT Nick. At JBT Nick for those that are listening. At the J-Man JBTs himself.
Don't at me for teasing that juicy little thing. Anyway, let's get started with some Busick Manuel scale staple here on JBT. For those of you who are new, this is a scale created by us that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We've got four little bars, four rungs on the ladder. Alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and just straight up fact. All right.
Nick, I think every week you describe the scale in different ways. It's a ladder.
It's a spectrum. It's a circle.
Keep it consistent.
It's a chain. A chink in there are three four links in the chain.
It's a pyramid. It's like keep
See,
it
our
consistent.
Model,
or the pyramid.
Our model is not so much the pyramid, it's the trapezoid.
No one's going to get it.
Anyone who follows The Simpsons will 100% get it. But anyway, let's move on. Philly, mate. Philadelphia 76ers would be better off not pursuing LeBron James in free agency. This comes in light of some recent three billboards outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I don't know if there's three. They were, but there's definitely one.
They were in Cleveland, Nick. They were outside Cleveland.
They were advertising LeBron James to put. They were advertising LeBron James to come to Philly in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. That's where they're going to see it. Yeah. But
exactly. Okay. That's where LeBron's going to see it. Fair enough. To Quicken Loans Arena.
Yeah, but there is no chance in hell that he actually saw those billboards. He saw a picture of those billboards.
Well, yeah, obviously he's on Twitter. He's active. He's exactly. Woke. But I think it was nice. It was cool, and he responded in the same sense. Like he liked it. He was flattered. But I put this in here, Nick, because there's a lot of people. The hype is growing. Bill Simmons started this, I believe, last week. There was even rumors and little tidbits coming out. You know, when the whole LeBron funeral about Houston, San Antonio was coming around. The fact that you know he should stay in the East. It's going to be an easier run to the finals for him. The only thing that I believe, I'm going to give this a wiki because I just don't see a seamless fit with him in Philadelphia. I love the fit with him and JJ Redick and Robert Covington. I love the fit with him and Joel Embiid. But his boy Ben Simmons, the young prince, as he likes to say, the little bro, their games are just far too similar. Mm. And if we're going to make a comparison for a guy that can't shoot a three, I guess Dwayne Wade is somewhat of that. But Dwayne Wade has, you know, but Dwayne Wade is more of a jump shooter from the mid range, whereas Ben Simmons likes to get to the rack a lot. Whether they like, whether you know, Coach Brett Brown ultimately staggers their minutes if he gets there, but I just don't like the cohesive fit there, and I think LeBron. I mean, if anyone's going to work it out, it would be LeBron, Brett Brown, and the coaching staff there in Philly. They've been doing a great job,
exactly, mate. And they like, deserve. Come on, how can you possibly give this a wiki? Every team in the NBA should be pursuing LeBron James.
Because it's not part of the process, Nick. I don't think LeBron James is a part of...
That doesn't matter. The process is gone. The process is dead. The process is now. It's not a process anymore. It's definitely in motion.
The process is never ending, Nicholas. I think you need to learn this. You need to pay attention. You need to be a bit more woke to the process. The process processes. Because they're still processing.
It's more a system now. Trust the system. Doesn't quite have the same ring, but there is no team in the NBA that will not sell their left nut and even their right nut for LeBron James. There is no team in the league. He's great for business, he's great for your team, your team's making money. Every GM in the league will want the best player in the league. Whether it gets you championships or not, we'll take it from that point. The next point is that who better to teach mini LeBron James than LeBron James? Not only will he make Ben Simmons a remarkably better player, he'll probably also learn to shoot the three with LeBron James there. Yeah? We forget so quickly what sort of a player Ben Simmons was in college. Not a primary ball handler at all. Yeah? This is how he played in college.
That's what he was like at LSU, yeah.
Exactly. Obviously, NBA is not college ball. I have every faith in the world that Ben Simmons can change his game. He is a complete package, almost.
He's missing
maybe the bow on the package, but he is more or less a complete package. He can shoot with the introduction of Markel Fultz, who recent videos have come out showing...
Who?
God damn. He hit like two step back J's, and I'm just like, damn. I mean, I don't know where that came from.
The famed Philly icon, Nicholas, we're talking about practice, all right? about practice.
Fair call.
I'll before we move on, I'll put one quickly to you. Is Philly LeBron's best destination free agency? Or would you have the Lakers? Or would you have San Antonio? Or would you have Houston? Him stay in Cleveland?
The Lakers are a little bit underdone. Cleveland is stagnating.
I like Cleveland the most.
I like Cleveland the most out of all of the. Actually, no, sorry. I like the Sixers more. If you remove, Sixers. I can't, Jack. You know why I can't.
Sorry. Okay. Wow.
Wow. Philly are a ready team. They are ready. Markel Fultz will be coming back. Simmons will be in his third year. Joel Embiid will be in his kind of fourth or fifth year. following around him with Robert Covington, JJ Redick, Dario Saric off the bench. Damn, man, that is a brilliant team. That is a contender in the East team with LeBron James.
It's nice.
100%.
It's nice.
They've got a stable defense ready there, and I think LeBron can deflect a lot to Embiid and even potentially Simmons.
Yep. That's fair, Nick, but
I'm giving this a hashtag alternative fact. Philly definitely need to be pursuing LeBron James. Everyone does.
You make fair points, my friend. But speaking of the King, LeBron this season won't make first team All NBA. Now I put this to you, Nicholas, because this is the current front court contenders for first team All NBA: Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron James. Those are probably four of the five best players in the NBA right now.
Very true.
Add in Stephen Curry, that's your five best players. Add in, you know, James Harden, whoever you want. But those guys are probably four of the best players in the league.
Very true.
And they're all not going to fit. There's only three spots.
Of course.
Who have you got? Does LeBron make it or not?
Well, I'll answer your question with a question, if you don't mind. Where is LeBron James in your MVP voting?
Well, that's a good question, Nick. I'll ask you another question. No, I won't. James Harden would be number one.
Of course.
I'd probably have... James Harden is, and we'll talk about that in our busy mobile scale in a little bit. I can't foresee the future where Anthony Davis isn't a top three contender, just because of how he's dragging his team along, the narrative that he has.
Recent monstrous events. Yep.
And I think I would probably have him third or fourth. It's a toss-up between Giannis and LeBron. I mean, people, you know, Warriors fans come at me on Twitter at the JMNJBT. I don't have Steph or KD, but they nullify each other in so many ways. I just don't think that, you know, that neither of them really stands out on a consistent basis. They both stand out together, but, you know, to be an MVP, you're the most valuable player, not only in the league, but basically your team. Look at what Russell Westbrook did last season. So I would have him, you know, let's go an equal third. I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit. I think him and Giannis are neck and neck. What about you, mate?
He's a firm number two for me.
Firm number two? Firm. Did you not see him play basketball in January?
He played like trash. I did.
He played like Evan Turner.
Did you not see the Pelicans in the first half of the year?
You're giving
Anthony Davis number two in light of 6-7 good games. Granted, I'm not saying he's there. He's definitely there. But you, as LeBron James, have the ability to flip a switch. Yep. And he has been playing. I mean, it wasn't before the All-Star break, we were talking about him being runner-up in MVP. And then January happened. Possibly the worst month of his career. Fair enough.
Yep.
Undeniable.
Yep.
Okay? He has also come back from the All-Star break, refreshed, invigorated, loving life, playing amazing basketball. Okay? I don't think their wins have been there post-All-Star break, if I can just get it up quickly.
I think they're 2-2 or something.
I think they're okay. Like, they won their first game and killed Boston, and everyone was just like, whoa.
LeBron's been... And he's been, like, spewing out triple-doubles like he's Russell Westbrook.
Mm. They're actually 2-4.
So...
Two and four post All-Star break. So, like I said, the wins aren't necessarily there, but he is playing some amazing basketball. His averages this year 26, 8, and 9, shooting
not too bad.
All right. Average field goal, effective field goal percentage of 58%.
Yeah, that's okay. That's not too bad. But okay.
And
but does he go in the All NBA next?
I think a lot of recency biases have come into that. I think he does make All-NBA because he is my number two All-Star voting. Ahead of Durant.
Ahead of
Giannis. Definitely.
Okay.
If Davis continues his form, then no way he's getting ahead of Davis. But he's definitely there.
Okay. Well, Davis is probably... It depends on if you have Davis at the five. You can argue for what you want. But the sort of 3 and 4 positions is where it gets tricky. I would also have him probably ahead of Durant just because... You know, LeBron's ability, like you said, to flip the switch and his averages and his effect on the game and just his all-round brilliance. Whereas KD's consistency has been, you know, outstanding. I think he's shooting like over 50% from the field.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 25 points. 54, mind you. But Nicholas, a team that hasn't been getting any love, unlike LeBron James, has been the Portland Trailblazers. After last night's win over, impressive win, might I add, against Oklahoma City Thunder, they are now six straight. The Portland Trailblazers, Nick, are going under the radar in the Western Conference. What do you got for me?
Oh, definitely. This is a hashtag fact.
Fact.
Who? Fact. It for someone who follows the NBA, like I'm guilty. I don't check standings a lot. Okay. I'm just one of those guys who checks the games every day, see who wins, see the stat line. So I've been noticing the Blazers have been winning games, but because no one talks about it, they definitely do fall under the radar. And I checked the standings today, and in light of after their win of Thunder, because I'm like, oh, these guys have been winning a lot, and they're third. When did that happen?
Like, out of nowhere.
Ridiculous. And it's a little bit skewed because you look at how far off they still are on the Warriors in second, and it's just like, oh crap.
But they're still third.
But it's like, if you remove those two anomalies, they're first in the West, you know?
Yeah, 37 and 26. That's a heck of a record.
Oh, of course. 11 games over 500. 12 games over 500. No, 11 games over 500. Yeah, and their defense is what has been doing it for them, which, again, a very underrated style of play. You know, they're not letting teams get over 100 points in their current stretch. In their six-game winning streak, they have the best defensive rating at 98.1.
Whoa, that's huge.
Considering this is the Blazers team 2 years ago, were almost 27th or 25th in defense. Truly awful.
If your soundboard was working right now, Nick, there'd be an explosion right there, because that was a fire take. Absolutely fire.
It would be like a nice campfire crackling fire.
But that's huge. Like the defensive capabilities of this team, and they look a lot deeper. Like they're getting, you know, nice minutes from Shabazz Napier. Evan Turner's been, you know, serviceable. Zach Collins, their rookie, has been okay.
He played an absolutely monster game today. He blocked one of Westbrook's. Oh, sorry, Paul George's drive late in the fourth, and just the crowd. Oh, you could tell how much energy it just gave everyone. And that was just one play, and he had a good, great game.
Ed Davis has been, you know, very underrated all season. He's a very consistent performer. You know, you mentioned that 6-game winning streak. It's the third longest active winning streak in the NBA right now, behind the Pelicans and the Houston Rockets. You know, they won 13 of their last 14. This is a team that's got some nice momentum, and they're peaking at the right time. And I think if they can create some separation between them and the rest of the pack, you know, it's going to bode them well going into the postseason. You know, give them that that home court advantage. You know, the three against the six, they could come up against the Oklahoma City Thunder again. Who knows? And they're 3-0 against them this season. So I really like what they're doing, and this might be the best version of the Portland Trailblazers that we have seen. And there were questions going into the All-Star break about them, but Coach Terry Stotts certainly deserves a lot of credit as well. Oh, hashtag fact.
Yep. I mean, if we're talking rookie, talking coach of the year, there is a lot of brilliant coaches. A lot of people who need to be talked about. And in terms of the past few weeks, they've had a lot of clutch wins. I think the game before the Thunder, I can't remember who it was against, but I saw the highlight of Dame knocking...
The T-Wolves.
It was the Wolves. Knocking down just a clutch three, and then just pointing to his wrist. It will be invaluable come playoff time. And if they can snap up a third seed, that is massive.
Huge.
For a place like Portland. Oh.
Yeah, and who knows, it could attract some free agents for them, because, you know, they're not really a known free agent destination. There were talks of Carmelo Anthony possibly going there, but, you know, there could be some low-key moves going into the next year. And, I mean, Dame and CJ still have some youth on their side. I think they're only 26, 27, so, you know, they're right in their peak. But, Nicholas, another team who's around that range is still trying to find their footing in the Western Conference is the Denver Nuggets. We haven't given the Denver Nuggets enough love on our podcast, so we thought that we would give a sort of double Busing Manuel for this one. Ooh. Now, a double Busing Manuel. So if this is via at GWIS on Twitter. Is it a hot take to say I believe Jamal Murray is more important to Denver's future than Nikola Jokic? And this is via at Josh Eberly. If Denver doesn't make the playoffs, Malone has to go. Both of those, Nick, give me some quick takes for me. Denver have been up and down. Paul Millsap's back. What do you see for them going forward?
Oh, I can't quite get around the Jamal Murray being more important to the team than Nikola Jokic. We forget the hype that surrounded Nikola Jokic last year. These incredibly impressive passes and his ability just to get buckets and get other people buckets. Like, he is a great young player. That being said, so is Jamal Murray. For a guy in his second year averaging 16 points a game, is very, very, very impressive. His shooting splits are okay. Like, he's a young dude. They can definitely improve. And they're not bad. 46, 39, and 91. So for a second year player, that is still mighty impressive. But that field goal percentage is room for improvement. There is room for improvement there. But I can't get around that like Jamal Murray is the face of the Nuggets rather than or more important to the Nuggets.
It depends
future.
Because you look I at mean, the I can't you look at the I agree. I think Nikola Jokic is a once-in-a-generational player. Hmm. Jamal Murray has capabilities to be that, and I think going into the future, you know, we've seen glimpses of his form. You mentioned his splits there. He's shown some really, you know, their young core. It's going to be interesting to see how they build around that in terms of their contract situation, because Jokic is going to be due a max pass this season. You know, is he taken into restricted free agency or not? I agree. I think in terms of that one, you know, I would give it maybe a Twitter fact because Jamal Murray has some super potential there, but Jokic has already shown. He can go waning sometimes. You know, his form can be a little bit inconsistent.
Definitely he can be, yep.
But at the same time, you know, Jokic is a franchise piece. And, you know, he's a center and Murray is a point guard. It depends on, you know, what you want in terms of that positional, you know, the positional preference, so to speak. But, you know, I think there are a lot more validity in the take of Mike Malone being under the hot seat if the Nuggets fail to make the playoffs. I believe on the Woj pod earlier in the week, he spoke to the Nuggets owner and he was glowing in his praise of Mike Malone being able to sort of rebuild this franchise with the young talent and the drafting and the player development. But at the same time, there's expectation now. They were expected to almost make it last season. And they were almost, you know, fait accompli going to make it this season. They're still struggling. They're still finding their feet. The reintroduction of Paul Millsap, you know, that's obviously going to help their defense, which has been obviously a real Achilles heel of theirs. But I think Mike Malone certainly will be under the hot seat if they can't make the postseason, unless there were to be some circumstances like injuries or something that sort of works in his favor. I like continuity in terms of coaching, and I wouldn't be as rash. But the seat will certainly be quite warm there in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I'm not too sure that it's playoffs or bust for the Nuggets, considering you think of the caliber of the Western Conference. There are 10 teams above 500 in the Western Conference at the moment.
That's wild.
It is extremely tight. Come, you know, four, even three, from 3 to 8 is just ridiculously close. And you think of, obviously, we're going to discount the Rockets and the Warriors. Do you think that the Nuggets are better than the Blazers? No, I wouldn't say so.
No.
The T-Wolves? No, I wouldn't say so. Spurs? No. Thunder? No.
No.
Thunder maybe. Okay, sorry. Thunder maybe.
Yeah.
Pelicans? They're on a hot streak at the moment.
But
right now, no. So that puts them 8th, which is exactly where they are now.
Yeah, I think that they're an 8th seed, but the Clippers are coming hot. The Jazz, you know, everyone's been talking about their record going into the rest of the season. They have a pretty soft schedule. But, Nick, you argued last week that we didn't get to speak enough about your Wizards on the pod. So, bear in mind that we need to keep a solid time here. Is Bradley Beal, Nicholas, more important to the Wizards than John Wall? This has been making so much rounds with, obviously, the absence of John Wall. Can everyone eat? Blah, 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 blah. I think there's some validity in it, but obviously I need to hear from a Wizards expert like yourself.
Is Bradley Beal more important to the Wizards than John Wall? Hashtag
Is he, Nick?
Twitter fact.
Ooh, there's something in it then.
Something there.
There's something there.
Only because
Why?
I guess the lack of confidence in the team creates more movement. No one really wants the ball. All right? And so we move, we pass, we move. No one's selfish enough to think that they're above the team. Okay? And when you're a star player, you can take that. That's fine. That's your job. Because passing and moving, the ball in someone else's hands might not necessarily be as good a play as you driving to the rack or assisting someone. Everything that John Wall does. Okay?
Yep.
Beal is a tremendous shooter. Wall is a better driver. A healthy Wall is a much better driver. He's more explosive.
Beal has increased there, though. His ability to get to the rim has grown.
Beal can still...
Even this season.
Yes, Beal can still play. I think Beal is a lot more humble than Wall as well. Wall might be a...
brash.
Yeah, like a Russell Westbrook type. Like, not the easiest to play with. Great player. Yeah. Great assister, great passer. He's a great assister because he's a great passer. Okay, Russell Westbrook is the same. But to say, I mean, you could say the same thing. Can you take Russell Westbrook off the team and, you know, they'll move the ball around, but do they become a better team? No, I don't think they do. You know?
No. But at the same time, Bradley Beal has been, for me, outstanding this season. And in terms of his play And you know, I'll give you an even more fire take, Nicholas. Thomas Satoransky is more important to the Wizards than John Wall. Sato, get around Team Sato.
Sato's growth has been great. And this has been a long time coming. He's been given the opportunity now. I mean, he's been showing glimpses. It was like Kelly Oubre. You know, he's been showing glimpses for a while. And he'll get his break. Oubre got his break. Markieff Morris was out at the start of the year. And he's showed. I mean, he has improved dramatically this year. Yeah. And even last year. His three-point shot was amazing last year. And Sato's the same. And I've loved Sato's game from the start. And it's easy for me to say that because I watch the Wizards virtually every game. I try to. Obviously, the time differences are a little bit weird here. But I've been loving Sato's game. And getting him more confidence is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hopefully, when John Wall comes back, he's still, I think, 2 or 4 weeks away. 2 to 4 weeks away. I think. He's still a while away.
Yeah. Hopefully he started practicing.
Yeah. Hopefully, he can come in, see what we've done, maybe learn from that, because there are still flaws in his game.
Yeah, he could be a bit selfish of a player, similar to like a Westbrook.
Definitely.
And I think if he can sort of, and he has seen that. He has seen the everybody eats, so to speak. But Nick, before we move on, I'm gonna make you like choose between one of your children or choose between your future children. You don't have any illegitimate children right now, do you?
I'm pretty sure I don't, but man, that Euro trip was crazy. I could have some Mexican Nicos running around.
Nicolas. So choose between Bradley Beal or John Wall. You can only have one. Who you got for the next 5 years?
God damn. That is... that is a harder decision than I thought. I just spent the past 5 minutes defending John Wall.
And you've got his like kicks. You've got his jersey. He's been your boy for a long time. But Bradley Beal, the humility, as you mentioned, the personality, he's one. He can go down as one of a historically great shooter. His form is just...
sometimes that arrogance, that confidence is important. I mean, he got us that winner in the Boston series.
Celtics.
Oh
yeah.
Oh man, that was one of the greatest moments of my life. We lost the series, but I don't care. That shot, I was losing my mind. I'd have to say I want John Wall.
All-star. Yeah,
it's because I think physically he's a better player. He's a better athlete than Beal. Granted, the only thing that Beal's better at is shooting. The only thing. But John Wall can learn to be more selfless. You know, Like, that sort of stuff, yeah, you can learn. You can improve your play. You can grow up a little. Like, whatever it takes. But physically, like, Beal is at his peak at the moment.
I'm literally going to put it on Twitter right now. So can you talk about, I'm going to go, who would you rather have for the next 5 years? And I'm going to put in John Wall and Bradley Beal.
John Wall, Bradley Beal. This is going to be...
At the J-Man JBT, make sure you guys vote. I'm sure Nick will retweet it as well. It's going to be making the rounds.
Yep.
Who would you rather have for the next 5 years? Nick, what's the next one for me while I do this?
That is a good question. I'm glad you put me to that one. Anyway, all right. James Harden. There was only a matter of time before we started to talk about the beard. Should be the second unanimous MVP in NBA history. Now, this is sort of like a two-pronged question, I think, because the word "should be" is a very key here. Should be and will be are two very different things, and I'll be grading accordingly, Jack. So, do you want to start? Are you still making your tweet, or I mean, I can keep going, mate.
Keep going for me, lad. I'm trying to find the hashtag. What's the Wizards hashtag that they do? Is it DC3?
DC Family.
DC Family. Cheers, lad.
Yeah, all good.
I'll put that up right now.
All right. Should be the second unanimous MVP in NBA history? Yeah, probably. I'll give that a Wikipedia fact. No doubt. He is having a crazy good season. The narrative is there. He hasn't won it. He's been second three times, and it's a combination of the narrative and obviously he's leading in points. He's fifth in assists. He's doing crazy things, and the Rockets are an amazing, amazing team. So it's a combination of that tells me, yes, he should definitely be the second unanimous MVP. Will he be, though? No.
Like, if Michael Jordan couldn't get a unanimous MVP, I mean, that was surprising in itself. People voted for, like, Charles Barkley.
Because people don't like... people don't like greatness. People didn't like Michael Jordan. People don't like James Harden. And that is just straight up fact. But people loved Steph Curry.
That's why he was unanimous MVP in 2015.
People loved Steph Curry. The things that the shooting that he had done had never been seen ever.
Oh yeah, ever. Historic. And I think James Harden deserves to be, you know, the MVP. It's almost fait accompli, unless he has an injury. You know, knock on wood. But I think there's a decent chance for it, Nick, because I think there are people that dislike him, but the people who vote for this can see behind the petty hate. They're not like Twitter haters like we are. They're not, you know, those sort of petty fans. I think that there is a real chance that he gets this because I think the Starters had a poll the other day. They were doing their quarterly report about who deserves to be MVP. And I think James Harden had about 60-70% of the vote.
Hmm.
I think that there is a real chance. I'm going to give this a wiki fact because I think that he should and, you know, will as well. I'm going to give them both wikis because there is a real chance. And I think unless Anthony Davis can, you know, get the New Orleans Pelicans to a 3 seed or a 4 seed, unless LeBron James can, you know, go on one of his tears, but even though, you know, he already has, it's just his team has been so shit. So I'm going to give this wiki on both accounts. And I think it's going to be an interesting sort of little tidbit because he certainly has deserved an MVP over his past two or three seasons.
Definitely.
And it's going to be nice to see the fact that, you know, he finally does get one.
I mean, it's I can't see him getting every single first place vote. I can't see it. Some will go to LeBron James. Definitely.
Some will go to Giannis, maybe. Some will go to Anthony Davis,
maybe. I'm not sure
maybe.
The first place votes will be going to Giannis. But again, if Davis keeps going on this tear, and people will remember this tear, even if the Pelicans finish sixth and he's averaged, you know, 35 points a game over the second half of the season, I'm not entirely sure what he's at now. I'll check now.
I think, in February, I think he was player of the month at like 37 and 13 or something ridiculous
I mean, his year this year is 28 points. But if he can go 35 points for the rest of the season, then yes, he is definitely getting first place votes. There is no doubt.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. I feel you. But Moving on, we go to Miami. Dwayne Wade, Nicholas, has had a nice little run. He annihilated Lonzo Ball despite some outstanding defense from the young rookie with that behind-the-backboard shot. It was ridiculous. In fact, I'm going to go with something different because we can talk about Dwayne Wade next time. Derrick Rose, Nicholas, he wasn't taken on by a team. His NBA future is in limbo. Has Derrick Rose played his last game in the NBA? Are we going to see Derrick Rose in China? Are we going to see Derrick Rose in the NBL? Is his future with the NBA done?
Oh, man. Can you imagine him in the NBL? Oh, geez, it would be ridiculous.
Crowds would be amazing.
Oh,
I'd go see him.
I'd go see him. I would go to every single game if
I
he
said
was
Melbourne
there.
United. Get around it. Oh, Melbourne United.
But he would. It would absolutely. It would just be a piss take for him. Anyway, it's. Oh, this actually depresses the hell out of me. To think that Derrick Rose, after everything he's been through, after everything he's suffered through, his crazy highs, and then just an injury has derailed his whole career. Imagine that. Imagine the feeling that he's a joke. He's an NBA joke. It's truly heartbreaking. And reports were that he's only getting interest for 10-day contracts.
10 days.
From the NBA. He's been what's playing against him is that the opportunities that he's been given, the Bulls and the Cavs, later end on the Bulls, the Knicks and the Cavs, he just hasn't impressed, and that's why people are so skeptical to give him a full contract.
Like the
whole mental
health.
Yeah, the mental side of the things as well. If he can't get himself mentally right, and you know, as welcome as we are to talking about mental illness, because you need to talk about it. It could have been very detrimental to his career, because people are seeing that and saying, "Hey, we don't want to sign on an average guard that could potentially not play. Just not show up in some games. Not like physically not show up and mentally not show up."
Yeah, and I think in terms of also his injury, his physical injury history as well. Like, he's had niggling ankles. You know, those knees affect so many other parts of your body. I think that there's obviously, you know, due worry. And it makes sense because, you know, the 10 days, I think, you know, Minnesota were rumored. I think Oklahoma City were rumored for a period. You know, Milwaukee might have even been rumored. So there's all these rumors going around, but I just don't see how he fits on an NBA roster. I would love to see him. And like you mentioned, it's very sad for an MVP, a guy who had all the talent in the world and the world and the league at his feet, be so cruelly taken away by the fact that it was just his body. His body let him down. And I think it's more sad than a guy like a Greg Oden, because Greg Oden never really reached his full potential. And, you know, there's always that what if for him. But Derrick Rose saw it. He had it in the palm of his hand, and then it was taken away from him. And that's what, for me, is the more heartbreaking thing about it. But I don't know. Do you agree? Do you think it's worse than, you know, an Oden situation?
Yeah, definitely. It's sort of... It's hard to know what you missed out on when you never had it.
Whereas he
had it. And to see this massive fall. And it's a real shame that it's like if Westbrook did his ACL. And then you don't come back as explosive. It's just, unless you're Menzel, you don't come back from knee reconstructions and be good.
Look, Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine have been okay,
different games though.
No, Zach LaVine has a somewhat similar game to Derrick Rose,
not
but at least he has
as explosive. Like, Derrick Rose was crafty and relied on insane athleticism to do what he did.
Yeah. Yes, yes. He had a heavier reliance on it. Zach LaVine definitely has that, but he also has an outside shot and I guess a more varied offensive game in terms of his athleticism. But that's it for Busy Man Wild Scale this week, guys. We'll be right back with JB Team of the Week.
You're listening to JBT Podcast, Head over on iTunes and give us a rating and review.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Remember to smash, Jack. Smash that subscribe
smash.
Button if you have
Hulk
not
smash.
If you not have not already. All right, let's get to JB Team of the Week.
Curry, way down to bang, bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! A Brady for the win! Yes!
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. This is where we pick five players for the week just gone, see who's performed the best in their position. All right, let's kick right off here. At the point guard position, taking that position, we've got Drew Holiday. And he was an offensive catalyst for the Pelicans' OT win over the Bucks. He put up 36 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and a block. Chuck those in there as well. Nicely done there from Holiday. At the shooting guard position, in a nail-biting win over the Nuggets, James Harden had 41 points and 8 rebounds and 7 assists. Harden had 27 MVP. Had 27 in the first half and 7 in the fourth quarter. Very nice. When the Rockets held off a late Denver rally, Harden scored 40 or more points 9 times this season. Hashtag MVP.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
MVP.
Taking out the small forward position in a win against the Nets. Unlucky there, matey. On the same night, LeBron James finished out finished off February by averaging a triple-double for the first time in a calendar month in his fabled 15-year career. James also became the first player in NBA history to tally more than 30,000 points, 8,000 rebounds, and 8,000 assists. Hashtag GOAT. James had 31 points in this game, 12 rebounds, 11 assists against the Nets to give him his 12th triple-double of the season. One of his career high for a campaign set last season.
I think he got that one last night in a loss.
Yeah. It's his 67th career triple-double. In 10 games in February, LeBron James averaged 27 points on 54.6% shooting, 10.5 rebounds, and 10.5 assists. So he had a pretty good February, to say
LeBron James.
Taking out the point forward, power forward spot, we've got the Brow himself, the one-man wrecking ball, Anthony Davis. This time he showcased his talents against the Suns. The big man destroyed them with 53 points. Destroyed is an understatement. 53 points, 18 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks, while shooting 16 of 29 from the field and setting a career high with 21 free throws made on 26 attempts. My, oh my, it was Davis's 5th 40-point, 10-rebound game in February alone. In February alone, the shortest month of the year, Jack.
28 days.
Per ESPN stats, it is the most in a single calendar year, single calendar month in the past 35 seasons. He also joined Bob McAdoo as the only players with 50 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 blocks since blocks were tracked in 1973. But I think Wilt would have done some similar numbers if they were tracked back in his day. All right.
Lazzarino.
And the center position. It's a shame we didn't end on Anthony Davis because, you know, that was a good way to end. But Carl Anthony Towns had a ridiculously efficient night against the Kings in a win. He takes out the center position. He posted 26 points, 9 of 10 field goal shooting, field goal percentage, and 8 from 8 from the line. He also put up 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So a pretty monster double-double there from Carl Anthony Towns. So that's your JB Team of the Week this week. And now, Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
All right, those of you who are new, this is where we rank the rookies. Based on their performances for the week, and we award 1, 2, or 3 votes, depending how well they've gone. Jack, I've been speaking for a while. You can take this one.
I shall. Ben Simmons does not feature this week, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. We decided to give some love to other rookies. Sorry, Australian fans. We decided to give someone else some love. Neither Donovan Mitchell. So here's some new names. One vote, De'Aaron Fox. He may be a rookie, but he flashed the confidence of a seasoned veteran when he had the rock in his hands in the final seconds of regulation as he knocked down a floater at the buzzer to send their game to OT against the Nets. He finished the night with 21 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Very nice game from the rookie guard in De'Aaron Fox. Two votes goes to Nets center Jared Allen. He finished with 3 blocks, 9 rebounds, and 18 points, including a monster poster, one of the dunks of the season on fellow rookie Lauri Markkanen.
It was so nasty.
Oh, man. Very nasty. In his only 11th career start, he also had a double-double in an OT loss to the Kings, the same game as De'Aaron Fox. He had 15 points, 30 rebounds, including 7 offensive and 3 blocks. He's been having a very nice run, Mr. Allen. But the 3 votes goes to a guy who's been having a nice vein of form out in Phoenix in an unfortunate win, obviously, for the tanking Phoenix Suns. Josh Jackson finished with a career-high 29 points, had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Very nice line from JJ. That's Rookie Watch for this week. Let's get to Off Topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
All right, this week's Off Topic. You may have noticed we were going through the Rookie Watch and JB team a little bit quick, but that's because this is a crazy, soup. Crazy good off-topic.
Soup.
It is soup-related. Good old J.R. Smith throwing soup. Yes, thank you, Jack. God damn it. throwing soup at his assistant coach. It was assistant coach, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, assistant, yeah.
So, Our soup-related off-topic is two-pronged, I guess. One, favorite sort of soup, obviously. I mean, I think that's a given. And two, your favorite soup, or what you think the best soup would be to act as a projectile. Maybe we can help out J.R. Smith the next time he wants to throw some soup. Maybe instead of grabbing something, you know, whatever he grabbed. Has it been revealed what soup he's threw?
The early rumors were that it was a broccoli cheddar, and then Jason Lloyd of The Athletic revealed on his Twitter page that apparently it was a chicken tortilla. So a nice little flavor profile from Mr. Smith. So we are breaking news here on JBT, for those who don't know. It was a chicken tortilla confirmed by Jason Lloyd of The Athletic in Cleveland.
I don't even know what that is. What's a chicken tortilla soup?
Who knows, but it sounds bloody tasty, and I would like to eat it. I don't know if I'd like to waste it on throwing it on assistant coach, but well, Nick, I think we all have to...
We can find out sort of best soup would act as the best projectile.
I feel like Chowdea would be a solid soup.
Chowdea.
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 Chowdea. Chowdea. It's Chowdea.
It's Chowdea. Say it right.
Chowdea.
We'll chuck in. I mean, all right. So we'll tackle this one. We'll tackle this one at a time. All right. So yes. Favorite sorts of soup, mate. I'm a pretty big soup fan. I like my soup. Soup can be very hearty, same. Very nutritious, and then it can also be very fattening and very delicious. Like it's just brilliant. I mean, one of my favorite soups is potato and leek soup, and it's a bit of a basic one, but you add a little bit of cream in there. Oh, it's a thicker soup.
I am a bit of a basic bitch when it comes to soup as well, Nick. I do like a plain tomato balsamic soup. Add in some, you know, some nice salt. Add in a bit of chili for a bit of a kick as well. Some chili flakes.
Tomato soup just tastes like bloody ketchup. Like it tastes like watery ketchup.
Hey, that tastes nice. I didn't even ketchup? Eat ketchup. So like, oh, I don't know ketchup. Ketchup. We have a lot of Simpsons there references. This podcast.
This is brilliant.
but I also do like me a carrot and coriander. Just something about
the carrot and coriander one I had from Sainsbury's. That was
good one, yeah.
I mean, that was good. It was nice and thick. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of coriander either, but it was nice and thick, not too, I guess, cheap. Parody, but it was brilliant. That was good. That was very good.
You also had a nice. You had also had a very tasty looking French onion soup when we went to that French restaurant.
Oh boy,
that looked really nice.
That Europe trip got me so hyped for French onion soup because I didn't realize how good French onion soup could be. You put in cheese there, and you've actually got real onion at the bottom. You put chunks of bread in there. Oh, god damn it! French onion soup, which I guess is just called onion soup to them, is just brilliant.
And fries. I think I need to. But I need to do my shopping today for the week. I think I'm going to be making some French onion soup. Ooh, that's for
mate,
sure.
There's absolutely baller. I mean, Asian soups can be like pho, if you want to count as a soup.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, please.
You kind of would. It's a nice chunky soup.
That broth.
Yeah.
That broth.
I mean, broth soups, chicken and sweet corn soup. Like some Asian soups, you can just get. They can just be on point. On point.
Add that sriracha in there for a kick.
Oh yeah, definitely. But then if you want to go on the flip side, something that's I don't think tastes overly that well. Like it's not bad, but the benefit, the nutritional benefits, just through the roof. You can't go past a minestrone. Minestrone.
Yeah, I would also add in a in terms of the Asian soups as well. A nice ramen. Ramen goes down well. All right. I'm a ramen fan. You know, I did a nice homemade ramen.
2 minute noodles. Just fuck it. Let's do everything.
Let's get it around there. Just get the meat going in there too. Why not? we're going down a weird path. But Nick, in terms of projectiling, what are we throwing here? We're in a soup fight. We want to do some damage. What sort of damage do we want to do? Do we want to do soup, like physical damage, like soup's on, fat boy?
Soup's on, Andy fat Moore. Boy. Yeah, actually, that's another thing. Did J.R. Smith throw a can of soup? Because, like, it's weird to just think he threw, like, liquid at
it. A bowl.
Or he threw a bowl. Did he empty the bowl? Nick, did he just throw the liquid?
I'm giving you the inside scoop, mate. All right, I wasn't at Quicken Loans Arena, but for those who haven't heard it on the OTG outlet, make sure you subscribe to that as well on the OTG network.
If we're talking, just grab a can of Heinz soup or bloody Campbell's Extra Chunky. That'll take your bloody head off.
That'll hurt you. That'll certainly hurt you. That's for sure. But I reckon if I'm in JR's shoes, what I'm doing, you know, I've had practice. I'm going into the Cleveland cafeteria, the arena cafeteria. I'm picking up some soup. I'm pouring it in either one of my nice ceramic bowls or, you know, they've got some nice takeaway stuff like you'd see like a Pret a Manger you put it in or Tupperware. I think the vessel for it was one of those. And for those that, you know, haven't listened to OTG, the outlet, I mentioned that. But I would prefer to throw, we mentioned the tomato soup. For stain damage, that's going to be tricky to get out.
Yeah, that's
all red.
That's a good point.
And you're wearing, if he's wearing like a nice, like white sort of collared shirt, that it's ruined. Like, you know, you're going to have to go back to whether it's Jack London or H&M. You're going to have to get a nice repurchase that. You know, I certainly wouldn't want to have a minestrone or a pea and lentil thrown at me. Whereas a potato and leek, like you mentioned there, Nick, you know,
leek is white, but it can be very thick, very, I'm going to use one of my favorite words here, mate, very viscous.
Ooh, viscous, Nicholas.
V-I-S-C-O-U-S.
Yeah, that's what I like. You're a viscous man.
Yeah, I'm a... is that a compliment? I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, like it could be very viscous and just like almost sticky. But if you're thinking, I mean, I'm thinking what's going to do the most damage? Obviously a can of soup. But if we're just throwing the actual...
soup itself.
If we're just throwing the actual liquid, then you got to throw a broth of some sort. That shit is scalding. Broth soup is always the hottest, and I'm giving this dickhead third degree burns. You know, like
you're already imagining the fact that you're doing this. You're like, putting yourself
just a chicken broth or even a French onion soup, just like something that's really base water will absolutely burn and kill.
I mean, you could throw pho
at them. Because pho is base water as well, and you've got a lot of chili in there. So it not only will it burn, but it'll burn the eyes.
It will. But yeah, I think we have to take into account the key processes here, the physical damage it'll do, like Nick mentioned, you know, the burning sensation, whether it's from the flavors itself, but then also the stain damage.
Yeah, exactly. You got to think of that. Like, what, I like your tomato soup pick, mate. The stain damage is that I don't think there's a better soup for that.
No, not at all. I think that, and if there is anyone out there that can give me a better one at the J-Man JBT, you know, you hit me up. I don't think there is a better one than a red, some colored base, or, you know, even like a carrot and coriander.
Yeah,
like we carrot mentioned.
Carrot and coriander, yeah, definitely.
That orange, you know, whatever you takes your preference. But, you know, there's going to be plenty of dry cleaners that will be making plenty of money off that dry cleaning bill, that's for sure. But make sure you guys hit us up for your favorite soups to throw, if you have been in a soup fight. If you would like to see Nick and I get in a soup fight, I will be in Australia very soon. It could make for some hilarious content. I don't know if we are actually going to do
it. Am I throwing bowls at you? Because that'd be the most fun.
I would like to stay non-concussed if possible. So maybe we have like a ladle fight. Like we have like a giant stove. Like we have a heap of soup and we just like get out. We have like a ladle throwing and it's just a liquid sort of fight.
Yeah.
I reckon that could be quite a fun.
Yeah, I can see. Or fill up like super soakers with like chicken soup.
with soup. Oh my God. This,
fuck, that would be fun.
the idea is that we may have to do this and get your brother to record it or Chaz to record
it. It's got
to
be piping hot though. So like we've got to feel real danger.
Ah, oh, this is see. Oh, that's so, yeah. That's
so
we
dangerous.
We may have to be in the hospital. And thank God, in the Australian health system, we will be covered. Yeah. So, thank you guys. Give us your ideas on anything from the podcast, whether it be soup or any of our picks for MVP or LeBron James, the Portland Trailblazers form. Thanks, guys, for listening. Spiel time, Nicholas. Am I spieling?
You're spieling. We've got a new platform that I don't know the name of, but you know all the details, so you can do the spiel.
I will. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and now on Dash Radio. We are on Dash Digital Radio. I have a time. I know our time. We've been given it. I need to look at my Gmail. Actually, Nick, can you do the spiel? Because
all right,
I'll do the spiel.
So you can find us on Dash Radio, like Jack said, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, as always. Remember to rate and review the show. Really helps us out a lot. It'll increase our popularity as well. You can contact us at the JManJBT or at JBTNick on Twitter. Hit up at OTG Basketball as well. You can read some awesome NBA articles written by Jack and a lot of other fire content there as well. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us. You can hit us up on email. We'll read your emails in the final sections of the show. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. Jack?
We air Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our American listeners on the Nothing But Net radio station. So make sure you find us there. And I think we will be repeated throughout the week. So we'll make sure we got you guys there.
All right, too easy. So remember, it is you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, or email, that heads our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.